Welcome to the weekly wrap-up with Ken August. We will get you caught up on the week's biggest stories the least depressing way possible. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Weekly Wrap. You can listen to our rebroadcast Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern on Extreme XM 165. Or listen live every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern at skidrowstudios.com. Make sure you get every episode by subscribing free to the Weekly Wrap-Up at the iTunes Store.
Free?
Free, I say.
Free?
Yeah, you don't get a lot of that. The Weekly Wrap-Up free. That is fantastic. Before we get started, I am your host, Ken August. Last week, we had Sal Rodriguez on here, and we ran out of time before he got to tell everyone to listen to the very funny, his and Chrissy's very funny show, Registered Ear Offenders, also on Extreme XM 165, Sundays, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sal, I apologize. Usually I don't listen to you, but I give you time to talk. I apologize. I am joined today by the very funny and occasionally, hopefully still alive, Jeff Hendrick.
Oh,
how are you, buddy?
God. Death warmed over, but I would not miss the show. I want my trooper button.
Yeah, you definitely get one.
My badass merit badge.
You earn your wings today, and we are joined today also by the host of Angry Dorks, Ron Swallow. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Very good. Very good. We got a lot going on today. Ugh. Coming up on the show, the president begins setting up his new cabinet. Can you complain that the black guy is nominating too many white guys? You can if you're a woman. Plus, banking giant HSBC has avoided prosecution by agreeing to pay $1.92 billion, begging the question, what the hell did you do where you're happy to pay almost $2 billion just to make it go away? We'll answer that question. The Oscar nominations just were announced. Lincoln has the most, including Daniel Day-Lewis for Best Actor. From what I understand about Daniel Day-Lewis, one of you guys right now could be Daniel Day-Lewis, and I would not know it. And Lance Armstrong is going on Oprah this week. He's expected to finally come clean about not being clean. But first, there's been another school shooting. This one in a California high school where a 16-year-old is in stable condition after being shot by a fellow student. The shooter then missed another student before being talked into dropping his weapon by a teacher. The teacher is being hailed as a hero, although the NRA still wishes she would have shot him. Listen to this from Headline News.
At about 9 o'clock this morning, 911 calls started coming in of possibly shots fired at the Taft High School. There was an active shooter that didn't show up for school this morning. For the first period, he then interrupted the class halfway through it, armed with a shotgun. He fired the first round, striking another student. That student is at the hospital, a 16-year-old who is in critical condition. He then tried to engage a second student that he named and tried to shoot him and missed. The teacher at that point was trying to get the students out of the classroom and engage the shooter, who had numerous rounds of shotgun shells. A campus supervisor showed up, was outside the classroom, and together they engaged in conversation with this young man. And at one point he put the shotgun down, and police officers were able to take him into custody.
This is becoming way too common of a topic. But by the way, first of all, if this happened in Texas, that kid probably would have gotten 1 week suspension and a B-minus for missing his second target.
Huh. But you know what? That's actually an interesting thing about Texas. You know, each state has different laws, and they fines and stuff based upon whatever crime you do. Like, for instance, in here, if you litter in California, it's like a $500 fine. But in Texas, it's a $2,000 fine. But the difference is, in Texas, if you kill a black guy, they just give you a slap on the wrist. I'm just kidding. They don't do anything.
Right, but if you leave his body on the side of the road, that's $2,000.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That is good state politics. That's good state laws. That's good to know. This kid went in. He didn't show up to class. 16-year-old. Unconfirmed report that he had a kill list. He was kicked out of school last year for having a list of people he wanted to kill. That has not been confirmed, but it has been rumored. They let him back into school this year, and then he went in late, didn't show up to class, and then showed up late to class, walked in, shot somebody, and called out for the second person, but missed him.
And see, therein is the problem. You mean, you can make the argument about the guns, but nobody questioned this kid had a kill list, and they're like, no, come back to school, sure.
No, I guess if the president has a kill list, why couldn't this kid have a kill list?
Fair enough. That's a valid point.
Well, it's not that valid, but it's a point. Here's the thing is, there's crazy kids, and I mean, you know, the NRA had brought up everything but guns as far as problem, and one of those things is mental health.
And it is a real problem.
There's no doubt. There is no doubt. but to talk about all the different things that may cause somebody to do something like this, but refuse to talk about the weapon that allowed him to do something like this is ridiculous.
And on top of that,
yeah, guns don't kill people. They don't.
They don't.
No. Yeah. Bullets kill people, but the gun, if I can paraphrase Jake Johansson, makes the bullet go really fast.
That's true. And on top of that, somebody trained that kid how to use a shotgun. Have you guys ever shot guns at all?
Yeah.
Yes.
How easy is it to shoot a shotgun?
If you don't do it right, it'll kick your ass.
Yeah. So somebody trained that kid, yep, that 16-year-old kid, on how to shoot a shotgun.
Well, in theory, according to the NRA, once you're trained how to use the gun, you're one of the good guys. Is that not true?
Yeah.
And if the gun is gotten legally, of course, if the gun is gotten legally by your parents, like the kid in Newtown, and then you just take it from your parents, I don't know how you can argue that if there's less guns around, it makes it a little harder to actually get the gun and do something. It won't. I mean, and they like to point out, well, it wouldn't stop this or it wouldn't stop that. And you're like, yes, you may be right. It would not have stopped it, but it might stop the next one. You know, the idea that, well, drug dealers, you know, that drugs are illegal and people get them. You say, well, so we shouldn't outlaw anything.
You should just have everything willy-nilly. It's called anarchy. I mean, let me be clear. All you guys who are in power, when there's anarchy, not going to be in power
for very much longer.
Yeah. Because now that you're not in charge of people who have the guns, well, and other people have the guns, they will just kill you.
Yes, but I don't even think it's a power thing. It's a money thing. I mean, the people in Congress, some of them believe it, and other ones just want to make sure that they don't piss off the people who want guns who are voting for them. I mean, half the Democrats, or at least half the, less than half the politicians, I should say, because some Democrats still have, you know, gun-loving constituents. But half of the people, a little less than half the people in Washington want some kind of gun control.
Yeah.
At least that amount.
Well,
never mind Washington, what Washington wants. We as a country are better than 65-70% pro, let's do something.
Yeah, let's.
Some regulation, my God.
Yeah.
Because when we had the assault weapons ban in place, the mass shootings in this country dropped severely. So
yeah. Well, and somebody made a great idea I saw on Facebook. I can't remember. It might have been my friend Ben Dukes. And I don't agree with him on almost anything. But one of the things he talked about was, and I thought it was an interesting idea, how about tax the fuck out of bullets and guns? I mean, crazy tax. We're talking 100 to 200% tax to get a gun. So if the gun costs you $60, the tax on that gun is $120.
Well, here's the problem with that. Although Chris Rock, I believe, said something in one of his routines about the bullets. You're like, wow, they put $14,000 worth of bullets in this guy's ass. But problem is now you're saying you're okay to be crazy and dangerous as long as you're rich enough.
That's a good point, too.
Well, that is... But isn't that on the American? Isn't that on the quarter? Isn't that our? Isn't that our motto?
That is a problem. It's a good point. I just, you know, it's just like because, I mean, I don't. I've never had a gun and don't want a gun. Let's be clear on that. I don't really care. I'm not going to shoot anybody. If I have to fight a person, I'll fight a person. And if someone feels like shooting me, well, then it looks like I'm going to die because that's how it's going to happen. Because I don't want to shoot anybody. It's just not.
Yeah, fair enough. Move on. We know you don't want to shoot anyone.
Yeah, but I don't feel like we should have a bunch of guns lying around. And here's their defense. Their always defense is, well, the government could come and try to take over us.
Yeah, is that not ironic that a lot of these people are very adamant that it is their right as an American to have guns so they can someday fight the American government. Is that not a little ironic?
News for you.
Yeah. You're going to lose.
Yeah, if you've got a shotgun and an AR-15 and they send an A-10 Warthog with a bunker buster and they drop one on your double wide, you're done, son.
Enjoy that.
Actually, McChrystal, former General McChrystal, also had said, I have his quote here somewhere.
A general, he might know something about guns,
retired,
right?
General Stanley McChrystal, former commander of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan, said certain weapons should only be carried by soldiers, not civilians. Quote, I personally don't think there's any need for that kind of weaponry on the streets and particularly around the schools in America. He goes on, but he's pretty clear. I think serious action is necessary. Sometimes we talk about very limited actions on the edges. I don't think that's enough. He may know something about guns. A judge has also ruled that James Holmes, the man accused of the Colorado theater shooting, should stand trial for charges of killing 12 people and injuring almost 60 others. A day later, the judge also granted the defense motion to delay the arraignment by 2 months. I mean, You would think after a rash of high-profile shootings, both sides would start talking about ways to limit gun violence. Here is Piers Morgan, who I believe in this country is still mostly known as, hey, that's not Larry King. Here's Morgan on CNN talking to right-wing talk show host Alex Jones.
Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, and I quote, deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment. Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show.
The Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Ow!
Yeah, that's a good rational conversation right there.
I got two words for you. Gun nut.
Yeah. Oh, and on top of that, if you yell really loud, everyone will get your point.
Work for Sam Kinison. Fortunately, Joe Biden showed in his debate that he's not afraid to interrupt people. So the president put him in charge of a task force on gun violence. This is from ABCNews.com.
The White House ready to take action on gun violence 27 days after the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Vice President Biden squared off with the powerful NRA today, getting ready for a big announcement next week. ABC's chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl now tells us what happened.
On the day Vice President Biden met with the National Rifle Association, he made it clear he is pushing for the biggest expansion of gun control in two decades. Biden's proposals will likely include mandatory background checks on virtually every gun sale and a ban on semi-automatic weapons and those ammo clips that hold dozens of bullets. That will pit him squarely against the NRA.
How powerful is the NRA? Well, remember, they give grades to members of Congress. And how many got an A for sticking with them in opposing all gun control? 288 members, the overwhelming majority of Congress.
Well, that is why, Ron, I was saying earlier, I don't think it's as much about just people in power, as opposed to, say, in some Middle East countries where they want to make sure, you know, they have the weaponry so they can keep themselves in power. This is more of a keep yourself in power by way of the vote. And you don't want to piss off people that listen to the NRA. And there are a lot of people that listen to
right,
the NRA.
But
I'm not saying it's not ridiculous.
But the regulations that are being proposed aren't draconian.
No.
They're not crazy.
No.
And I got news for you. If you need a 30-clip magazine in your AR-15 to go hunt deer, you suck as a hunter.
Yeah, you're terrible at it.
You're terrible.
They should arm the deer if that's the case.
Yeah, my stepdad, Kim, he's like a burly mountain man. He hunts with a bow and arrow.
That's burly.
That's nice.
You want to hunt with a bow and arrow, go for it. I mean, he has a gun, but that's because he lives in the middle of the mountains in Northern California where there are bears and bobcats.
He scares them off. He killed an ox by stranglehold.
He probably could, dude.
Now, this story I found funny along these lines. Two men walked down a Portland street, Portland, Oregon, armed with assault rifles, told police they were exercising their Second Amendment rights and hoping to educate the public on gun rights. These two men are still alive, so obviously you can assume they are white. However, their logic was, I'm, quote, exercising my right with a rifle to try to decrease the demonizing of peacefully exercising your rights in public. And they said they were hoping that people would come talk to them about it instead of calling the cops. And this is how out of touch some of these people are with their guns. You don't go approach somebody with a semi-automatic weapon and find out if they're crazy. Yeah, because if they are, you're dead.
Yeah. As soon as you get within whatever shooting distance that gun is relatively accurate with.
Hi, sir. Were you looking to kill somebody? Oh, you were. I would like a do-over.
Mulligan.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I am the master of using a lot of mulligans.
And I got to tell you, every time I'm out in public and I'm looking to socialize, the first thing I look for is the guy with the gun. First thing I'm looking for.
Which person here can end my life in a hurry?
Yeah. I want to party with you, cowboy.
The great, great Stripes reference. All right, this is the weekly wrap-up with Ken August. You're listening to Extreme XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. You can also get every episode of the Weekly Wrap-Up on iTunes for free at the iTunes Store. It seems President Obama recently went to Costco and bought a large bag of white guys to fill his cabinet. This is from Newsy and CNN.
It's been rumored for weeks, but President Obama made it official Monday, nominating former Senator Chuck Hagel to lead the Pentagon. The president also put forward John Brennan, a longtime counterterrorism advisor, as his choice to head up the CIA. That's a selection that will likely face much less opposition than Hagel's nomination to replace Leon Panetta as defense secretary. Although he's a former Republican lawmaker and a Vietnam veteran, several GOP lawmakers have promised a fierce confirmation fight in the Senate.
Chuck Hagel, if confirmed to be Secretary of Defense, would be the most antagonistic Secretary of Defense toward the state of Israel in our nation's history. This is an in-your-face nomination by the president.
That criticism stems from Hagel's previous support for opening up negotiations with Iran and from a comment he made that pro-Israel lobbies have too much influence in Washington. As for Brennan, Obama had originally considered him for the CIA's top post in 2009, but accusations that Brennan had a hand in brutal interrogation tactics under the Bush administration took his name out of consideration.
I like that part. He was up for it 4 years ago, but for reasons about, you know, reasons related to...
Kircher?
Yeah. He was no longer considered, but 4 years later, he's all right.
Well, he hasn't tortured anybody in 4 years.
Yeah. Well, that is true. That is very true.
Go ahead, Ron. I don't know too much about this guy, but I...
Which one? CIA? Brennan?
The torturer?
Yes. John
Brennan.
Or
the guy who allowed torture. I assume he wasn't doing the torturing himself.
No. That only happens in the movies.
Yeah, generally. The guys who are in power let some other person who has... less empathy do that. I feel like though, if there was a guy who was ever in charge of a situation that allowed that to happen, that it feels a little bit weird that you let the guy work at all. I mean, I you know, it's hard to criticize Obama because I voted for him and I support him for the most part, but that's a terrible, like, you shouldn't have guys who are torturers in charge of anything.
And he's also a big drone fan, too. He's a huge proponent of drone strikes. So
those are the two factors that are basically the two guys out of those nominations, out of White Fest that Obama has. The two guys that are raising the most eyebrows are Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense and John Brennan for CIA director. So let's deal. You guys brought up CIA director first.
Yeah, but Hagel, I think, is a good choice.
We'll get to him. I mean, the first one we'll go with Brennan. Like we said, 4 years ago, basically the big concerns are, Jeff, what you brought up, which is he was a big proponent of the drone program.
Okay, now can I ask you guys, I don't know too much about the drone. My understanding is part of it is it's just like remote control bombing the fuck out of people, but then there's also spying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we against that?
Okay, well, here's the thing is, in theory, I'm not fully against it. When you see like a headline that says, you know, main Pakistani militant responsible for X amount of American deaths was blown up, I go, awesome. But let me ask you this. If any other country had a remote control, anything flying over our country and shooting people, and they said, well, yeah, but this person was bad.
Conniption.
Yeah, how good would you be with that?
That's a good point.
We would flip the fuck out.
Right. Yeah, so a couple of...
Since we're the guys in power, and if you think of America as the good guy, sure, but we're not always the good guy.
Not certainly.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we are. Like I said, I don't have a problem with a lot of the people that, or if not all the people that they use the drone on. The problem is, you know, you don't find out that you had a problem with it unless something gets leaked.
Yeah.
Right. And then,
Casual.
Exactly. There's collateral damage.
Collateral damage, thank you.
Civilians. I mean, you can't tell a Hellfire missile... Just that guy in the turban.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to blow up that building, but make sure it's apartment 7C.
Right.
Yeah, no, that is hard to do. ACLU, CAIR, Credo, Demand Progress, they are all urging the Senate to reject Brennan's confirmation. They call him the assassination czar. The spokesman for
it's catchy.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, it's good. It fits on a business card.
You know that assassination has the word ass in it twice?
That is quite an observation.
Wow. Yeah, you were in an ass that you ate.
That is spelling, Ron. That is where the big bucks are.
That's gross.
Yeah. I'm looking for the quote here where they said they referred to him as the assassination czar and said, how is that going to look when America, a leading democracy, confirms assassination czar John Brennan to head the CIA? Okay, well, that's a fair question.
That is a fair question, but you know what else it's going to look like? Don't fuck with us. We will assassinate you.
You know what? It looked like that when the last Bush got into office. How'd that work out for us?
Not very good.
The other guy that raises issues is Chuck Hagel, which cracked me up that the Republicans are saying this is an in-your-face, an Obama-in-your-face nomination, yet he's a Republican.
Lindsey Graham hit on Chuck Hagel 15 years ago at a D.C. party, and Chuck told him to go you-know-what himself, and Lindsey has never forgiven him. That's a rumor that I'm making up right
now. I like
now.
It. I was going to confirm that that is certainly not confirmable, but a great story. So Chuck Hagel is, you know, he's pissed off a couple people, one for anti-gay comments, which we'll get to, and one the 14 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And another one referring to basically Israel as the Jewish lobby, the pro-Israel lobby, and saying that they have too much power. I don't agree with him on the gay issue, but a Republican 15 years ago, that's what they're going to say.
I will give the guy the benefit of the doubt of
he apologized.
Evolve. Yeah,
he apologized, even though I don't buy the apology because he apologized once this came up,
right.
14 years later, and not to the guy he did it to. But still, what am I never going to let the guy?
I would have a problem because the biggest hate on I have is for bigotry and racism. Like, there's nothing I get angrier about. If I had superpower, if I was the Hulk, every time someone was racist or bigoted, I'd probably break them. I don't care if every racist or bigot on the planet stops working. Honestly, if they don't have jobs and they can't procreate and make more babies, maybe we would have a world where people can like be themselves.
I'm very happy you keep your special powers, you know, well hidden.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I want to hug you right now. That's a really lovely sentiment, Ron.
Yeah,
the part about him being the Hulk and destroying people or the reason behind it?
Destroying bigotry.
Destroying bigotry.
You're not destroying people. You're destroying pieces of shit.
Yeah, fair enough. It'd be hard to argue with that. All right, so here's some of Chuck Hagel's probable new Secretary of Defense. Here's some of his thoughts on some key factors that he'll have to deal with. On Israel, the United States will remain committed to defending Israel. Our relationship with Israel is a special and historic one, but it need not and cannot be at the expense of our Arab and Muslim nations. That is an irresponsible and dangerous false choice. Okay, fair enough.
Everybody's got to play in the sandbox, brother.
Yeah. The two options, attack Iran or live with a nuclear-armed Iran, may be eventually where we are, but I believe most people in Israel and the U.S. think there's a way to go before that. That was said in 2012. So he doesn't feel that they're that close, apparently, to getting the bomb.
I would prefer no more wars for the next couple of years.
I would too, but and fair enough, I would too. But let me ask you, would you prefer, and it sounds like he doesn't believe that they're that close to getting it yet. Let's say you were pretty sure Iran was within the year going to get a nuclear bomb, and we cannot stop, and we cannot talk them out of doing it. Would you be fine with a military strike?
No.
I would.
I don't know. It's hard for me because I abhor violence.
They don't have a rocket program. So, you know, they're going to have a bomb and they're going to strap it on the back of a camel, walk it on over the border.
You know what?
Or a car.
Sure.
All right.
Here's the thing.
Or a boat.
I don't care if they deliver it by camel. If it's going to blow shit up, I don't want it.
Far away would they be from getting a rocket program?
I mean, that's the question, and that's the argument.
Ask Russia or China.
Yeah, that's the argument. Some people, more hawkish people say they're very close,
right?
And less hawkish people, and Chuck Hagel being one of them. He's a Vietnam vet, and he is big on. I'm not looking to go to war unless I have to go to war. He says himself.
That's a good thing.
He said himself. Look, I have no problems going to war if we have to. But everything else should be exhausted first. Yeah,
this guy's a 2-time Purple Heart Award winner. And that's not like some public service clearinghouse thing. You got to get your ass shot twice in a war. And I think anybody who's had gotten their ass shot
probably
twice
defending
in a war,
someone.
Defending someone, exactly. And it's about time we had a former enlisted man, a guy who was actually in the Army, running the Defense Department.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
Okay, and then his last issue, that is a valid point. And his last issue, the big issue for him, or one of them, was the gay comment that he made, or the anti-gay comment he made. Ms. Hagel faced criticism for remarks he made as a senator that an openly gay man nominated for a diplomatic post should not represent the United States, but he recently issued an apology. His apology goes like this. My comments 14 years ago in 1998 were insensitive. They do not reflect my views or the totality of my public record. And I apologize to Ambassador Hormel and any LGBT Americans who may question my commitment to their civil rights. I am fully supportive of open service and committed to LGBT military families. All right.
All right.
You know what? You can't. All you can do is take him at his word. And let's be honest. If gays are now allowed to openly serve in the military, he's not going to be able to change that anyway.
Yeah. Well, and let me say this as well. If you were say some like apology like that and then show your full support, I'm just going to stop having a problem with you. And people can change their mind. It really does happen.
Dude, yeah. Either one of you guys have a problem with everybody complaining that it's just a bunch of old white men. You do realize, however, that the guy who's picking him is not an old white man.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's hard to throw the Trump card on that one. But the guy picking it ain't
and
an
I assume
old white
he's
guy.
Picking. I'm assuming he's picking the guys he thinks are best for the job.
Right. Well, and he went originally with Susan Rice, and they shit all over that idea, so he couldn't go with her.
Did they have a conniption about
she
that?
She covered black and woman. He couldn't get Sammy Davis. Black and Jew. He couldn't get that. So, you know what?
Too soon, babe. Too soon.
Here's the thing is I don't have a problem with it. I can understand it being pointed out. But here's the thing is if you're like this person and this person, I would take either one of them and you have one that is maybe in a demographic that somebody else isn't. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that being the deciding factor. But do not for one second not go with who you would like to go with. Because he's not woman enough or colored or enough or white enough or whatever it is.
Yeah, evidently he had Marsha Warfield as a first pick but she declined.
Night court reference, that's fine.
He's going to choose powder.
Also this week, the U.S. has announced a slightly accelerated plan to withdraw from Afghanistan. The U.S. is planning on being in a support role by spring. Seems like a good idea considering we don't want to be there and they don't really want us there.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
11 years too late.
Well, he wasn't there then, but yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, he didn't do it immediately either. In other news, Megabank HSBC has been caught knowingly laundering money that funded narcotics traffickers and possible terrorist groups. Nobody will be prosecuted, however, because they're all very, very rich. This is from the Daily Conversation.
HSBC, the world's third largest bank and its sixth largest company, has agreed to pay a record $1.92 billion settlement after U.S. investigators found that it spent years committing serious crimes involving money laundering from Mexican drug cartels, moving tainted money for Saudi banks tied to terrorist groups, and moving money for nations like Iran. Those investigations even uncovered substantial evidence that senior bank officials were complicit in the illegal activity. No one was arrested, no one's going to prison, even though there are specific people who clearly broke the law. The defenders of the government's decision will say the move was necessary because HSBC was essentially too big to criminally prosecute, that the fragile world banking system could be destabilized if one of the world's largest banks was jeopardized by a public trial.
By the way, that guy must have been on Valium because I was outraged when I was reading the story and that guy was the calmest man ever telling me about how HSBC, I mean, and the thing is...
And the flames ate all the children.
That's what I'm saying. Just the calmest man ever. I'm like...
Let's just little this down. Okay, we meet a guy. He's got $50,000 in the bank. Let's say he's got $50,000 in the bank. He uses for that $50,000 to give to drug dealers and to give to people we know have been involved with terrorists. What do you do to him?
Guy's going to jail.
Yeah.
Jail? He's in Gitmo by the end of the day.
Well, yeah.
So, if he's black, he's shot.
Yeah. So we have to treat those people the same way. And it shouldn't matter. Somebody else is going to take over the bank.
Well, and
the bank's not going to stop like existing, there's going to be some other people who didn't know about what was going on under them that will just take over the bank.
Well, first, I don't know anybody that's taking over that bank knew what was going on. So I don't think there's somebody, you know, one level below who's like, oh, I didn't know this shit was going on. Because what it was saying specifically, although I agree with your thought, because here's the thing is normally a simplified, you know, example like that, you'd say, oh, yeah, but that's a little simplified. Here's the problem is in this investigation, they found out that some of the higher-ups were specifically hands-on showing how to launder the money.
Beyond knowing what to do. Like, oh, yeah, no, here's what you do.
Yeah, you're not doing this illegally correctly. Let me show you how to do this.
Yeah.
And they hands-on showed them how to do that, and yet they're scared. Regulators are scared that if they sue those people, it'll be a huge hit on this bank, and that'll hurt the financial, you know, the world
economy. So what, $1.92 billion isn't a huge hit?
You know what? You say that, but no. $1.92 billion is half a quarter's profit for them.
Woo.
Half a quarter's profit, and these people somehow feel that they're not, that maybe they're not getting a good deal, which is outrageous. I mean, that is outrageous to me that these people...
Can I tell you how much that infuriates me? Because I've been surviving on about 15,000 $1,000 a year for, I don't know, my whole life. And when I hear guys who have made that much money doing nothing and fucking people over, sorry about the cussing, it makes me want to fight them. Like, I want to turn into the Hulk again.
Again.
And start smashing Hulk. People. Like, it's...
Run and smash.
And you know that these dudes are the same dudes who are like, I don't want to pay more taxes.
Somebody give me some gamma rays for Ron immediately.
Seriously.
Well, you know who does like HSBC? AIG does. Yeah, HSBC is the company AIG likes to stand next to at a party to make themselves look better. Listen to this from RT America.
Insurance company based right here in America.
We're now leaner and focused on what we do best. We've repaid every dollar America lent us.
Everything plus a profit of more than $22 billion for the American people.
AIG, we turned it around.
Thank you, America.
Thank you, America.
Insurance giant AIG, which got $182 billion bailout by you, the taxpayer, by way of the U.S. government during the financial crisis, was considering a proposal to sue the government for charging too high interest rates and therefore giving its shareholders less money than they thought they deserved. Now, AIG did just announce that it would not, in fact, join its shareholders in suing the government, largely because of the backlash the company was facing.
The backlash. Turns out they felt that people don't like assholes. Well, maybe some gay people like assholes, I guess, but that's not what I meant. I meant they don't like if you're going to be a huge asshole. So they turn around and go, you know what? Maybe they wouldn't be happy if we sued them for bailing us out at a higher rate than we would have liked.
I think it would have been nice if they had decided to sue us and we turn around and nationalized AIG. You just walk in the front door with the Marshals Service. You look at the top of the board and you go, you pieces of shit, all in handcuffs. Thank you very much. Everybody else keeps your job and we now own you. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
That should have happened day one when AIG first went, yeah, we lost a bunch of money from everybody.
It is amazing. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know ridiculous. Exactly what happened, AIG, who was one of the biggest bailout recipients by the U.S. government during the financial crisis, has now turned around. Actually, their former leader, who is no longer with them, Hank Maurice Greenberg, goes by Hank. I don't know where you get that from, but then again, I go by Gus.
Because he's a country boy.
So he is suing with his new group. He is suing who was an AIG shareholder at one point. They are suing the government, claiming that they didn't get a great interest rate. Which
bails you out. You get to go, you know, I don't like the color of the life preserver you're throwing me. Do you have one in chartreuse? Yeah.
Or you could have just said, no, you know what? We'll figure it out ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That was your option.
That is amazing to me. And I mean, here's the thing is they're an insurance group. They're a group, this big banking group that basically says, hey, you know what? You're somewhat of a risk, so we're going to give you a slightly higher percentage. Mm-hmm. Well, considering this group just, you know, played a large role in almost wiping out the whole American economy, that seems fair enough to go, hey, you guys are a little bit of a risk.
Yeah. Can we also say that insurance companies are the soulless pieces of shit in the company world that exists, as far as I'm concerned?
Yes.
You want to turn green and go in there, don't you?
But seriously, I know people from New Orleans who had, when they bought houses, and this is, we're talking 10 years ago, when they bought their houses, they had asked insurance companies for flood insurance. And you want to know what those companies said?
Yeah, you don't need it.
Oh, you can't get flood insurance. You can't get flood insurance because it floods here. And they're like, yeah,
that's why
why we want flood insurance. And they're like, oh, no, you can't get that because it floods here.
Yeah.
Fire insurance in places where you can, where it, you know, there might be fire. No, can't get that because they're about making money. They're not about helping people.
No insurance company, health or otherwise, is ever trying to help the customer.
No, that's what I was going to say.
They deny claims when people have cancer. I mean, these people are scumbags.
No, this is, that all ties in with the medical industry, which is, to me, it's a contradiction.
Money-making.
Yeah, it is a contradiction in the whole logic to make them a profit-making ordeal.
I heard on NPR a couple of days ago that we here in the United States are less likely to live to the age of 50 than any other industrialized nation on the earth.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That we have the worst health, the worst infant mortality rate.
Hold on. Not if you're rich.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
This
is the greatest country in the world if you're the 1% because you can afford all the cool shit.
Hold on.
Yes.
You can say 4%.
That, yeah, I don't know if that's accurate, though, but yes. All right, let's move on a little. In the entertainment news, somebody wake up the woman in the bad Joan Rivers mask and let her know it's almost time to rag on our celebrities again.
Good morning. I'm Seth MacFarlane, the host of the Oscars. If you don't know who I am, just pretend I'm Donny Osmond. You'll be fine. We'll get through this. But I want to congratulate today's nominees and also to congratulate those who weren't nominated. You can stop doing interviews where you pretend that you had such a great time making the movie.
Seth MacFarlane, I'm interested to see how he ends up doing. You are listening to the Weekly Wrap-Up with Ken August on Extreme XM, channel 165. And you can always catch us live every Sunday, 4 o'clock Pacific time, at our home at skidrowstudios.com. Subscribe free at the iTunes store to make sure you get every episode. So 12 hours after being snubbed in the Best Director category for his movie Argo, Ben Affleck won that same honor at the Critics' Choice Awards. This is from Telegraph TV.
And the Critics' Choice for Best Picture is Argo.
And the Critics' Choice for Best Director is Ben Affleck for Argo.
I would like to thank the Academy.
Get it?
Jokes.
I'm kidding. This is the one that counts.
It's a good shot. Good shot at the Academy. First of all, does a movie being nominated for an Academy Award increase either one of your chances of seeing the movie?
No.
I mean, on a rare occasion, I would assume, if it's something that someone's like, well, I'll see this or this. Well, this is supposed to be really good. But for the most part, no. There's certain movies I will go see that I know the critics are going to shit all over. And I apologize for making people see.
Battlefield Los Angeles comes to mind.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that still. There's two movies that are just between that and then and Super 8. But now Battlefield Los Angeles, I knew was going to be questionable.
Yeah. So wait, you didn't like Super 8?
Super 8, I was extremely disappointed in.
I had okay time with it.
Oh, my! That to me was like watching a bad episode of The Wonder Years with an alien in the background. That's what that was.
That is pretty funny.
I did not need it. The Golden Globes are also tonight. There's too many award shows. I don't care about that many award shows.
Well, actually, I think it's a good thing to have that many award shows because at some point we're going to get one.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I would like them to have a stand-up, like more stand-up comedy awards, but that there's only like one.
Is there one? What's it called?
I think it's actually called the Comedy Awards.
That's pretty subtle.
And it's also it's not just stand-up.
Right.
I mean, stand-ups involved, you know, they were honored George Carlin, they've honored, you know, Richard Pryor and stuff like that, but
I'm going to write you in as a write-in vote.
Yeah, because, you know, I do so much.
Okay, so we got Oscar nominees. We got the Best Picture gets more nominees than all the other ones. Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, which came out of nowhere, and I believe was made for like less than $2 million, which in this town is a tiny budget. Django Unchained is Tarantino's movie, is up for Best Picture. Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. I would assume, I mean, right now you hear a lot of talk between Zero Dark Thirty and Lincoln. Any predictions, gentlemen?
I think they're going to come out with a movie that combines those two. Zero Dark Lincoln.
Yeah. Well, I saw
SEAL team hunting John Wilkes Booth.
I saw Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and I gotta tell you,
turd.
Good times. No, it was terrible. I actually read the book, and the book was fantastic.
That's what I heard.
The book is amazing, and then in the movie, you're like, they changed a bunch of stuff. As always, they changed a bunch of stuff that was unnecessary. They added in things, and it's just and the movie was, it was tongue in cheek. The book was like, I mean, you know, it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm
going to say Lincoln's going to win.
You think? I mean, Lincoln has gotten nothing but great word of mouth. The performances have supposedly been fantastic. I would lean towards Lincoln. I would originally have leaned towards Zero Dark Thirty, but I think the idea that they did not give Catherine Bigelow Best Director nominee, I think maybe is showing that they are not all that happy with the fact that some people feel her movie may be promoting torture.
Was Big Mama's House?
Big Mama's House.
Snubbed.
Yeah.
Big Mama's House 47?
Snubbed. I believe that was
bullshit. I'm out of here.
I am very disappointed that Quentin Tarantino was not nominated for Best Director because I would have loved to have seen him win Best Director so I could see how many times he worked the N-word into his acceptance. Yeah, I'm assuming that was your either having
that was my
seizure.
That was my weird imitation of
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know.
He's
getting ready to call a doctor. I wanted to see how many times he was going to squeeze the N-word into his acceptance speech.
47.
Yeah, that is quite possible. Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Beasts of Southern Wild, and Amour. The directors of all those films were nominated. Also, hard to not lean towards Spielberg or Ang Lee for Life of Pi. It's also getting a lot.
I love Ang Lee.
Do you really? You're a big Ang Lee fan?
Except for didn't he do Mission Impossible 2?
Yeah, it's possible.
No.
He did say he did one of them, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Bradley Cooper, Daniel Day-Lewis, Hugh Jackman, Joaquin Phoenix, and Denzel Washington in lead actor category. Anybody? I heard Denzel was fantastic in Flight. I have not yet seen it.
Yeah, I heard he was actually like painfully good. Like those, that's like real alcoholic angst. I mean, it's just gritty.
Say them other ones again.
Denzel, Joaquin Phoenix, Hugh Jackman, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook. Well, I still think it's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis.
I want Wolverine.
I don't think he has a chance. I don't think.
No, he doesn't.
Joaquin Phoenix.
For what?
The Master.
Oh, my God.
That's good disgust.
I do love Joaquin Phoenix for disgust. Dark City. Remember Dark City?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, but he almost single-handedly killed Gladiator.
No, fair.
I mean,
he was pretty bad.
Oh, he was horrific in that movie. Yeah.
Lead actress, Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva in Amour. There's not a chance I can pronounce this young girl's name in Beasts of the Southern Wild, and Naomi Watts in The Impossible.
Who has the biggest tits?
Not the 9-year-old from the Beasts of the Southern Wild,
not
who I think is going to win. I think she's going to win.
Youngest, yeah, because she's also the youngest ever.
Yes, to be nominated.
I think Anna Paquin was 12.
That's a good win.
This girl is 9.
9. Yeah. She started shooting when she was 5.
What?
5 and a half.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Not nominated for Best Picture as a slight surprise was Skyfall, the Bond movie.
It's a good movie.
It was a good movie, but it won like the continuity Razzie.
Yeah, oh, did it really?
Oh yeah, evidently there are huge gaps in that movie, and I didn't notice the one because I was so damn entertained.
Because it was badass.
It was badass.
Although, and I'll say about Casino Royale, the first one, the poker in that as a poker player was some of the worst poker scenes of all
time. That's funny. I've never heard anyone call bullshit on a poker game before.
Dude, the end of the scene, everybody has full houses and four of a kind and straight flushes and shit. It's like
that's a good place.
It never happens.
And he didn't win. He didn't win by being good. He won by luck.
I like.
That's not good poker.
I like the
talks about beating this. I can beat this man. Yeah, if you got lucky, yes.
Yes. I like when you draw the line. I like when that's the spot you draw the line. I got a buddy who wouldn't watch Flashdance because he's like, there's no way that chick's a welder. You're like, seriously, that's where you draw the line?
What, you don't think that the town's going to be shut down if this guy doesn't win a contest?
This chick is way too hot to weld. I'm like, okay, all right, that's a good spot. All right, well, let's move on to sports real quick. Speaking of awards, the group of 67 sculptors working on the life-size bust of Barry Bonds for Cooperstown can stop working now. The all-time home run leader fell just 40% shy of the 75% of the vote needed to get into the Hall of Fame. This is from ABC News and ESPN.
The Baseball Hall of Fame announced today that no one will be inducted this year.
For the first time in nearly two decades, no names will be added to the halls at Cooperstown. No to pitcher Roger Clemens, the only 7-time Cy Young winner. No to Barry Bonds, who hit a record 71 home runs in one season. No to Sammy Sosa, the 5th player ever to hit more than 600 home runs. But all were suspected of using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs.
If there's any connection, real or imagined, to performance-enhancing drugs, you are just not getting the writer's vote.
Well, then that was not a good time to be up for a vote.
No, the two that I was really disappointed didn't get in were Craig Biggio.
Craig Biggio, who led the league, I mean, led the vote this time. He was the closest with 68.2%.
Right, and he was an all-star at 3 different positions. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah.
Never tested positive.
Never tested positive. There was never any stink around him at all.
Well, there's a little rumor. There's rumor, but I mean, no, I don't believe he was on the Mitchell Report. I don't believe it was anything substantial.
That and Lee Smith, man. Can we put the brother in the hall already? The guy's 4th on all-time saves list.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of relievers, people are having a hard time putting specialized relievers in nowadays. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be in.
I know.
I'm just saying it doesn't surprise me. But yes, and at one point he was the leader, the all-time leader of
saves. Can we just speak to the fact that everybody does steroids? Let's be clear. Every single person who plays pro sports does steroids.
That's not true.
Maybe there's a 3% that doesn't.
There's nothing true about anything you just said at all.
No, they all do drugs.
No, that's not true.
They all do drugs.
That's completely untrue. You're making facts up.
I don't think that steroids, this isn't the first performance-enhancing substance. It's just, this is a big one.
That's the problem.
In the 50s and 60s, it was speed.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I mean, your beloved Mets were coked out of their gills when they won.
I still think, by the way, I still say if you take the 86 Mets now and put them all on the same drugs they were on then, they could compete. They could definitely still compete.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not just steroids, but performance-enhancing stuff. That's what everybody's doing that, and I don't care.
That's a different argument, but somebody getting caffeined up or taking no dose before a game, I'm not saying is healthy or a good idea, but that's different than having a blood transfusion.
Yeah,
or
that makes you like a freak.
Yeah. Or doing, horse tranquilizers or anything along those lines, which sound like a good time. I'm a little upset Mike Piazza didn't make it. Mike Piazza, who has the best offensive numbers for a catcher
of all time.
Most home runs for a catcher ever. He finished at 57.8. He was fourth highest percentage of the vote.
And hair.
But yeah, and he did have a great mullet for a while.
It's important for baseball.
But I mean, a part of that is
especially in the 80s.
But yeah, exactly. A lot of that is, or all of it, the reason Piazza's not in. I'm assuming if he wasn't in with this class, he gets voted in easily. All-time leading offensive numbers for a catcher. Yeah. Problem is you're in the steroid era, and everybody all of a sudden says, well, wait a second. If I'm not putting Bonds and Clemens in, then how am I putting Piazza in when he was in the same time and I assume now he's guilty too? Which is a tough guilt by association.
That does suck because maybe he didn't do drugs.
Right. But you know what? And I'm a Mets fan. Maybe he did. But that being said, that's tough. I mean, I heard somebody on the way over here say sports writers wouldn't use this little evidence to report a story, yet they're using this little evidence to not vote him in.
Interesting, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Good point.
Yeah. Roger Clemens was, I think, eighth on the list with only 37% of the vote. Barry Bonds, the all-time home run leader, is ninth with 36% of the vote. That is amazing. Sammy Sosa, 60 homers in three consecutive seasons. Only person to do that. 609 in his career, and he's way down the list.
Now, did any of those guys actually test positive?
Yes.
Or admit that they did it?
Admit that they did it. Barry Bonds got caught having it being on some list, but he under oath said that he didn't know he was taking it.
He thought
it was a different cream of some sort.
I put it on my butt and my neck tripled in size and I was able to hit the ball 500 feet, but I didn't know.
Did not know. According to reports, disgraced cyclist Lance Armstrong is seeking a public pardon from the Popera. He's expected to admit to doping in an interview that's going to be televised on Thursday. What do you guys think about that?
Here's my problem with all of this, and I'm going to tell you, I do think that most of the athletes who are at that type of level do some kind of performing enhancing. So what you get is you get when somebody's winning and they're winning the most, they're also doing performance enhancing. They're just better than the other performance enhanced people.
And that argument can be made for Lance Armstrong specifically, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think you can take the 900 people or however many people are in Major League Baseball and then just throw a blanket over and say, well, they all do it because they're professionals.
That's fair enough.
But Lance Armstrong is in what is reportedly one of the most crooked, sports, or at least was. And the problem is, and this was the problem with Barry Bonds, is that whether you're likable or not, Barry Bonds, it didn't help that he wasn't likable. But when you're competing against other people doing these things, you're still risking the fact that if you succeed too much, they're going to say, well, I don't want you to be the all-time leader in something because you're cheating.
Because you're cheating, yeah. Like, the other problem I have is this guy has one ball. Give him a break. All right? He's got one nut.
So did Hitler.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. I don't want him to have a break.
No, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need a break.
Yeah, but I don't think we can compare him.
No, but I'm just saying they both had one nut.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That is a fine link between those two. From
my understanding, Adolf Hitler, lousy cyclist.
Yeah, yes, that's what I would guess.
But he was saying all the other dictators were doing stuff. Here's the problem. here's my biggest problem with Lance, and then we'll move on to headlines, is it's not so much that he did it. I mean, I don't... It's the It's the Rafael Palmeiro. And I understand why if you're doing it, you're not going to go, oh, yeah, no, I'm blatantly cheating when you're asked. But when you're furious at the people for asking you, when you're so adamantly yelling at these people, you're so adamantly claiming your innocence, and I can understand it to a point, but when you're wagging your finger at people or you can't believe the gall of them accusing you of things, and then you come out. I had a buddy that I used to, my first roommate in town, it didn't matter what, he would lie about the most mundane shit. Be like, hey, man, did you drink my beer? And he'd be like, no, dude. I'd be like, it's empty on your desk. I'm looking at it. No, bro, it wasn't me. Like, it's more about the lie than it is about the actual activity.
Yeah, my brother was like that.
He took my beer, that son of a bitch.
Well, sort of. We had like a, he showed up at our house and was like, hey, don't lie about stuff and don't do drugs. And then he like, we gave him $11 to get a bus pass. He comes back, no bus pass, big giant pouch of tobacco. Tells us someone stole his pass while he was on the train and that someone gave him a pouch of tobacco because they felt sorry for him.
That's, here's the thing is, he's a horrible shopper and he's a horrible liar.
Yeah, and I was like, you're lying to me right now. Just tell me you're not lying. Tell me the truth and we'll be fine. And he wouldn't do it, so I kicked him out.
Yeah, that's more annoying than the actual activity. All right, let's get the headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Nice. All right, we're getting the headlines right now. You're listening to the weekly wrap-up with Ken August on Extreme XM channel 165. And you can always catch us live every Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern time at our home at skidrowstudios.com. Get every episode free at the iTunes store. Aaron Swartz, the 26-year-old founder of Reddit, a website that allows users to vote for their favorite news stories of the day, hung himself yesterday. The story of his death only ranked 7th on Reddit. I don't know if that's true. Actually, I made that part up. He was facing trial for stealing files from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology with the intention of putting it on a file sharing site. I don't know what the information was he was stealing, but
God, at MIT, it could have been anything, man.
That's what I'm saying. He apparently was, in danger of at least being sentenced to 30 years in prison. So whatever he took. Whatever he took. When you're doing cyber crimes and it's important shit, they're going to come after you.
And I don't usually get behind conspiracy theories, but this is one of those ones where you're like, okay, this guy randomly dies when he possibly has a lot of secrets that the government or super wealthy intelligence dudes have.
Defense contractors might have been real happy about that.
Yeah, no, and I can't put that past people for doing it, but I was saying to you the other day, I would think that they would do it before they would, charge him.
Yeah.
Kill him
bother charging him, just kill him.
Right, so they don't say, oh, well, who would have a motive to do this? Well, no, he was already facing charges.
Right. Yeah, they killed him by making it look like he hung himself.
Right, but I'm saying you can do that before you make yourself the suspect and say, oh, well, he was going to release some of our information we don't want out.
You kill him before you do. MIT or the Defense Department?
Possibly. Still, why would you leave yourself out there? Huell Hauser, host of public television's California's Gold, and pound for pound the world's most successful Huell, died this week at the age of 67. The cause of death was not released, so feel free to make one up. The ex-Marine became known for his extreme enthusiasm for all things California. If Huell Hauser was alive today, he would be amazed by his death. He was. The guy, he was big on the, oh my gosh, and no, isn't that amazing? Yeah. No, yeah, like, dude, it's a shoelace. It's not that amazing.
I dug him because I've never seen any adult have that much childlike wonder. He was cool that way.
That is my girlfriend's like that. She's adorable.
That is a wonderful element.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend should have a television show. I believe California's Gold is probably looking for a host right now. In one of the worst cases of you win some, you lose some, a 46-year-old Chicago man won $1 million on a scratch-off ticket. Then a month later, he died of natural causes. However, at the request of a relative, more testing was done, and the cause of death was changed to homicide by cyanide poisoning.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm assuming they have to wait to see which relative is guilty before they make the movie of the week about it.
Yeah, and they also have to figure out which one of those idiots is going to walk in and try to redeem the ticket now.
Yeah. 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 The guy should have swallowed a gun so his stomach could have shot the cyanide as it came down. Even sadder, by the way, after taxes and everything, the whole check was for $425,000. He had a relative, more than likely. I don't know if it was a relative. Somebody killed him for $425,000. Awful. Ugh.
That's expensive for an average Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That is a valid point, especially if we're going to just raise the cost of bullets like we were talking about earlier. It's an expensive bullet. I was originally going to report that a 70-year-old Saudi Arabian man robbed the cradle by marrying a 15-year-old girl. However, after more information came out, it seems that an 86-year-old Saudi man didn't really rob the cradle as much as he bought the cradle for $20,000 from its parents, brought it home, then couldn't get it to work properly, so he returned it. I hope he kept the receipt. Apparently, after the wedding night, they had a fight, and the girl ran home to her parents, and the guy complained. Hey, I bought this girl. I bought this wife. He said he was tricked by them telling him that she was 15, that she was 25 and not 15, because obviously, you know, otherwise it would be embarrassing. He apparently lied about being 86 and said he was 70 because he didn't want to seem old when he accompanied his wife to her junior prom in a couple of years.
Man, that is the creepiest story of the week right there, I think.
That is gross. Yeah. That is gross. He thought she was 25, not 15, because 61-year difference makes
sense.
It
might move to my douchebag, maybe.
Oh, that's a good move. After assessing mountains of evidence, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration declared that 2012 was the hottest year on record for the lower 48 states. Republicans said, no, it wasn't.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say about that.
Yeah, God is on it. No, it wasn't. If you're a big fan of calamari, scientists say they have finally captured images of a live giant squid in its natural habitat for the first time. Catch yourself one of those. You'll be eating well for months. The Japanese zoologist in charge of this mission has been on search for a giant squid for over 10 years.
And I got to let you know that the aioli he had prepared has gone south.
How many times, by the way, during this mission do you think somebody said in Japanese, we're going to need a bigger boat? The executive chairman of Google made a trip to North Korea to urge the isolated nation to allow access to the internet. The hang-up seems to be the fear that if North Koreans can actually get online, they will quickly discover how much North Korea sucks.
And leave.
Yeah, well, if they're allowed to leave. Kim Jong-un also turned 30 this week, but that's in North Korean years, so I don't know what that translates to. A Netherlands-based nonprofit group released its basic requirements for applicants to its new reality show that will begin later this year. Applicants need to be mentally and physically healthy, and if selected, will be flown to Mars to try to colonize the planet until the show gets canceled. Then they'll probably just let you die. I like this idea, though. They should send past show contestants,
I think,
to Mars. This is really interesting. All right, last one we'll do is reality star Donald Trump is threatening to sue Bill Maher if he doesn't pay up on an offer he made while on The Tonight Show. Maher, I assume jokingly, offered to pay $5 million to charity of Trump's choice if he released his birth certificate to prove he wasn't the spawn of his mother and an orangutan. Trump shockingly proved it, which I would have been wrong, although I would have guessed a spawn of a burnt sienna crayon and an alpaca. That would have been my guess.
That's actually more accurate, yeah.
I think it's not a bad contest. Go to the Weekly Wrap-Up Facebook page and post what two random items could be Trump's parents.
Ooh,
that is not a bad idea. I like it. Last one, actually. We're going to do one more. Here's a fun one. This story was sent to us by one of our regular listeners who goes by the name Crazy Legs. Crazy Legs, thank you for the story. Nice. In a poll on Tuesday, public policy polling discovered that 58% of Americans have a higher opinion of colonoscopies than they do of Congress. Congress also lost to traffic jams, cockroaches, but they did beat out Lindsay Lohan, Castro, and the Kardashians. Nice.
That's hilarious.
That is time for douche of the week. Jeff, what is wrong with people? Who is your douche of the week, buddy?
Representative Paul Ryan, come on down. You're my douche of the week for sponsoring yet another fetal personhood bill. Really? We can't take care of the people that are already out of the womb, but by God, we've got to have more rights for something. You know what? I'm not anti-zygote by any means. But
it's good for the record.
Knock it off, Paul.
Ron, who do you got, buddy?
I'm actually going to do a group of douches.
Oh, a douche eye.
A douche eye, shall we say? Yes, that's going to be every single person who's decided that the government has planned out all these shootings in order to get gun control passed. If you're going to make up a conspiracy theory, have one that has one side making money.
That makes sense.
Otherwise, you're losing my attention.
I'm going with Maurice Greenberg for suing the government that bailed him out. What kind of creepy rich guy? What are you, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons? Ron, what do you got coming up, buddy?
I got Angry Dorks on Monday, every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. and on iTunes. And January 17th, I'm at the Madhouse Comedy Club for the Nerds of Comedy.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Weekly Wrap-Up. It's Ken August.